Welcome back to the program. And you know, given the fact it's a Tuesday, that it's time for our man, Scotty Woodward, the analyst. He is on the line. Hello, Scotty.
Yes, matey.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're the centre of the news universe at the moment in rugby league. But in fairness to you, having just arrived at the Bulldogs, and that's not your remit, so we'll stay away from that. Before we get into what we do want to talk about today, I want to point out to listeners that Junior Tupou, who made his debut for the Tigers on the weekend, scored himself a try as well. You identified, you recruited, and you saw him there play his first grade game on the weekend. How satisfying was that for you, mate?
Very much, Jimmy. I tracked him down for 3 years, and it wasn't easy to get him out of rugby union and back into rugby league. And he's such a wonderful kid, and credit goes to Madge. He's very quiet and not a big talker, and Madge put him back and played him a bit at fullback to teach him how to talk, and so he was able to communicate with the guys better. And what a spectacular try it was. Even though he was playing on the wing, his future lies in the centres. I think he's a dead set centre. He was averaging 10.5 tackle breaks a game in SG ball, and he's such a wonderful build and an athletic guy. So he's it's all up from here. So he did a good job filling in for Madge, but he's still very green, got a long way to go, and centre is his best position.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Great to see young people like that go through and realise their dreams. All right, let's realise a few dreams for the listeners. You've done a round 25 forecast based on what you've seen up to this point in round 10. Explain it to us in greater detail and then explain who you got out on top.
Well, we'll go to round 25, Jimmy, and assessing each one of the games based on market expectation, taking into account injuries, suspensions, and also the three origins. And it gives you a fairly good idea what you come up with. And it's just a forecast, and it's not God, but just of how it is. It's interesting that last year, the Storm were minor premiers over Panthers. They both finished on 44 points. Well, I have the Panthers finishing on 46 and being outright minor premiers this year, just 2 points in front of the Storm. And the Eels and the Sharks will make up the four based on market expectations at this stage. Ryan Papenhuyzen comes back round 14 to 16. That's a concern. I expect Jerome Hughes back this week. The Parramatta side, they'll get Mako Silva back round 12 to 14, and Wacker Blake will be round 15. So they've got some guys coming back in. What was interesting from the analysis, Jimmy, was after 40% of the competition, the guys that are contenders for the top eight spot, which is the contentious spot, who's going to get that last eight spot? We're looking at some surprises here. Rabbitohs, Seagulls, West Tigers and Raiders. Those four teams are in a contentious spot for that eighth position. Clearly, the disappointing teams to date, and based on forecasts, are the Seagulls and the Raiders. Most people had both those teams in the eight comfortably. And they may very well make the eight, but they're not going to do it comfortably, that's for sure. So, look, it's interesting. At the moment, we have Panthers minor premiers just in front of the Melbourne Storm. No big surprise to anyone, I don't think.
No. And what about 5, 6, 7 then, if you say? So where are we in the mix there? Cowboys, Roosters, and I'm thinking of the other.
Okay, so after the top four, Panthers, Storm, Eels, Sharks, we have the Roosters, Broncos, Cowboys and Rabbitohs.
Roosters, Broncos. So, wow.
Yeah, so it's interesting. There's some tough runs coming up for a lot of teams, particularly the Seagulls. I've got a very tough run, and we're going to talk about Turbo in a second. He's crucial to that forecast. And the Raiders also, they will be outsiders for their next four games. So the Raiders and the Seagulls have got a very tough month coming up.
Okay. All right. So if someone's interested in futures betting, and I know you have some really strong thoughts around this because of what's to transpire with the origin and, of course, the elite players involved in that, the potential for injury. What's your recommendation of a strategy around long-term future investments?
Yeah. Look, and I think it's a wonderful way to go. And I get a lot of people ask me, Penrith Panthers, for instance, is that good value, $2.80, $2.85? we're talking now only with another 60% of the competition to go and the finals to go, and they want to take a price of $2.80, $2.85. And what I say, and just apply a little bit of logic to that, and that price is built in with obviously their champion halfback being fully fit and playing, which may not be the case. So you're taking all those things for granted. Now, if you just do some simple mathematics, and if the clubs finish the way that they're forecast at the moment, the Panthers will play in week one. They'll play the Sharks. So just say we're going to have the Panthers at say $1.50, and they beat the Sharks, and they'll have a week off, and then they'll play another team to go into the grand final, and then they'll go into the grand final and likely play the Melbourne Storm. Now, they might not even be favoured when they're up against the Melbourne Storm. There certainly won't be much in the betting. So, but just to be very conservative, we'll take $1.50, go all up at $1.50 and all up again at $1.50, and that'll give you $3.38 if you do it that way.
Yes.
Now, what I'm saying is, why would you take $2.80 or $2.85 right now when you can wait and see that everyone's fit and well, and you actually are going to be there? There's not going to be any injury problems or suspensions, and you've got much better value for your money. The other thing is, we just don't know what is going to happen after Origin. So I'm saying it's a wonderful way to go. I love futures, but you just have to pick your right time and your right place, and just pull out your calculator and just do a bit of mathematics.
You mentioned the Seagulls were probably a little disappointing this year based on your analytics, and obviously they were a top four side last year. A lot of talk has centred around Tom Trbojevic. What are the implications for Manly with the rise and now it would seem the fall of Tommy T?
Yeah, look, Jimmy, a lot of people are saying Turbo's got a corked left quad. Now, my mail from the club, inside the club, a very good source, say that there's absolutely nothing wrong with him whatsoever, and it's more of a mental thing, as in he's not game to go full speed in case he breaks down. Now, look, I don't know whether it's mental or he has got a problem with a quad or whatever. You'd like to think that he has got a problem, so he has got an excuse why his form has been how it is. So if they're saying that he's 100% okay, well, there is a big problem. So just to put it into perspective, and not to get too complicated with stats and data, I'll go back to Supercoach, which has relied very heavily on runs, run meters, tackle breaks, tries, assists, etc.
Yep.
Okay, so Turbo set the record last year at 143, averaged 143 every game last year, which is unbelievable. Like, anything over 65 is elite, and he was averaging 143 every game. This year, he's averaging 59. So he's gone from 143 to 59 from one season. That'll just give you an idea. His massive fall from grace. Now, can he come back from that? I was hoping to see signs of that last weekend.
Yes.
And, it went the other way. So, and look, you have to call it how you see it. And from what I'm seeing, they're going to struggle big time in the next month. As a matter of fact, I've got them losing five out of the next six games. So that's going to be a problem, and they are now in big trouble, and we'll struggle and make the eight unless we see some miraculous recovery from Tommy. But no signs so far. Let's hope he can come back.
Magic Round you weren't at, you didn't attend, but you have some thoughts around the way Magic Round should be run. Please explain.
Jimmy, the whole thing about Magic Round should be to try and attract new punters. We want new fans to come to the game so they can sit there and watch it all and get hooked. Now, we spend a lot of time in Brisbane. Everyone in Brisbane loves rugby league, so you're not going to get many, many new people there. They're all going to be rusted on. So we should be holding Magic Round at places where we can convert rugby union people over or AFL people over. Okay, so I know from my experience that Adelaide and Perth are a lost ship. They can't spell NRL there. They couldn't give a stuff about our game.
Oh.
But we've seen down in Melbourne, it's completely different because they've got such a wonderful team. If they had a Magic Round in Melbourne, I have no doubt you would convert a lot of AFL fans over to rugby league. The Melbourne Storm chairman is a good case in example. I converted him over. He was all AFL when I first met him, and now he's the chairman of the Melbourne Storm, and one of the board members also has done the same thing. They were all AFL guys, and so you can do it. And if you did the same thing in Auckland, where they're all basically rugby union and one of the things that would help that would be if there was rugby league every Saturday, not every fortnight in Auckland. And I'm saying Auckland, and I'm not Wellington and not Christchurch. It's got to be Auckland. Auckland is the rugby league city.
Yes.
So to have a magic round in Auckland, you would convert a lot of rugby union fans into rugby league. And that's strategically, that should be how the NRL should be thinking, in my view.
Yeah. Well, you can be very persuasive. So I understand how that did work with Matt Tripp, the Melbourne Storm chairman. And to be honest, I don't actually disagree with some of the things you've actually said there around the hosting of Magic Round. As long as the dollars stacks up, of course.
Yeah, well, just as far as Melbourne is concerned, John Rubo sits on Melbourne Events. So I don't have to tell you, he's a rugby league man. So I think they have a very good chance. Look, I fully expect, we know it'll be in Brisbane next year. I think there's a chance that it'll be in Sydney the year after that. Then I think it'll be in Melbourne after that. But then it should be Auckland.
Okay.
Auckland and Melbourne are the other cities they should be targeting for new people, new fans.
Thank you, analyst.
Thanks, Jimmy. Beep, 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 beep.